Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against the man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only insult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your hearts upon them. God has twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Let us pray. Lord, open your word unto us. Open our eyes unto your word. Help us, Lord, to gain strength from this reading of your word and from the principles set out here. We pray, Father, that you would bolster us and help us to see only Jesus as the solution to our problems and trials. We pray this in his name. Amen. Now, in the late 1700s, a clergyman from London, he was going to be put to death. Right? He was going to be hanged because of his non-conformity. He refused to conform to the Church of England, and so he was going to be put to death. So while he was in prison, he was still preaching. He was preaching to the prisoners. And after his last sermon was delivered, and a copy, of course, was published, was written down, and handed to a friend, that's when he was sent to the gallows. Now, this sermon that he preached was thereafter circulated to people, and those people who read that sermon commented that this was his best sermon ever, right? And the friend that received that sermon answered and said, of course, when a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. You know, when we are in deep trials, those are the times when we are to God. And that was the kind of situation that David was in here in this psalm. He knew that men were threatening his life, and it caused him to concentrate only on God, right? In fact, it was concentrating only on God that gave him peace. Now, of course, you know, if I was obvious, and I hope I was obvious enough, you notice that I paused at every time the word only or alone was written. Because the word only is the predominant theme of the psalm, right? It occurs six times Four times it is in reference to God, you know, verse 1, verse 2, verse 5, verse 6. It also occurs in verse 4 and 9. Now this word can be translated as only, can be translated as alone, but it has the idea of surely or certainly. And John Calvin actually put that translation. Surely, you know, God is my sure salvation. And so, because it is repeated here, David is basically emphasizing the concept that we will only enjoy God's peace when we trust only in God. That's his emphasis. We can only enjoy God's peace when we concentrate only on him. So that's the main theme, right, of the psalm. Now all of us, we struggle especially when we're going through trials, we struggle to stay in that place. We struggle even to get to that place, right? And David himself also struggled. So we see from this psalm what we can learn about experiencing this peace. Now, I'll only be first 8 verses of the psalm, and there are 2 lessons that we can draw from these 8 verses. Firstly, as I've been saying, we gain peace, we gain composure only when we trust in God. And secondly, the peace we gain can be an encouragement to others. Okay? So firstly, we gain composure, we gain peace when we trust only in God. Now, David was going through quite a lot of trials here, and it seems, according to verse 3, that it was a prolonged period of trials. It wasn't just trials, but it was a prolonged period of attack. Right? Verse 3, David was speaking to his attackers. What does he say? He says, "How long will ye imagine mischief against a man?" Right? And we see here that his enemies were counseling together on how to get him. Now, the Bible never promises exemption from such attacks. Rather, it shows us what to do when such attacks come on us. Now, you can extrapolate from here. You know, you can apply it to different circumstances. It doesn't only have to be the attacks of men. It can be trials. You know, we go through a number of trials, don't we? And we always ask, how long? How long? Right? So, David here demonstrates that when he is under attack, prolonged attack, he is to trust in God alone. Which is why David said in verses 1 and 2 that he would wait on God, because God only was his salvation. Now the word wait refers to wait patiently, to submit oneself. It can be translated actually as submit yourself. So, you know, 1 Peter 5, 6 gives this concept. We are to submit to God. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, that is what 1 Peter 5, 6 says. So if you take that and you take Psalm 62, you see here that's what it means. To wait upon the Lord is to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So a key element of experiencing this composure, right, this peace, right, is to humble yourself, to remain under God's hands. Now we see a practical demonstration of this in verses 5 to 7. What does David do? How does he wait on God? What does he do? Now, when he was under distress, we see here in verses 5 to 7, he talks to himself. He speaks to his own soul. And what is he? What is the gist he tells his soul to? Trust in God, right? That's what it says right there. Now, there's a wonderful book called Spiritual Depression. Now, it's not It's a wonderful book because not because it tells you how to be spiritually depressed, but it's a wonderful book because it tells you how to get out of spiritual depression. And it's written by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And in that book, he says this. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? And in that chapter, he goes on to explain that rather than just going along with the thoughts that we have, right, which bring all the problems to us, what we ought to do is, he says, to take yourself in hand, preach to yourself, and question. You know, the mind is a curious organ, isn't it? Yesterday's negative thoughts come back to you this morning. And if we remind ourselves of them, right, we are basically flooding ourselves with sinful negative thoughts. You know, Philippians 4:8 tells us to think on things which are pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue. In the same way, you know, Proverbs 4:23, I think, right? That's the one that tells us to guard, to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If we don't guard our thoughts, we don't keep our heart, right? These things can destroy us. Now, Lloyd-Jones continues to write. He says, and then you must go on to remind yourself of God. Not only speak to yourself and preach to yourself, but the thing that you must preach to yourself is about God. Who God is, and what God is, and what God has done, and what God has pledged himself to do. And this is exactly what David was doing in Psalm 62. He was going through a lot of problems, but he focused only on God. He trusted only on God. And he gained that composure, he gained that peace when he started to preach to himself, to talk to himself. And that's why you see in all these verses, he is piling up descriptions of God, right? In verse 6, he says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Now, this is quite amazing. Why? At the end of verse 6, it says, I shall not be moved. Now, what does it say in verse 2? What does it say? In David says, I shall not be greatly moved. Now, that's a big difference, isn't it? Right? So he's in trouble, he is despairing, you know, he says he'll trust in God, and when he does, he will not be greatly moved, but then he starts to preach to himself, my soul, wait thou, submit myself to God, and then in verse 6, I shall not be moved. And the mind can only find its anchor only in God. When we submit ourselves in that manner, we learn to trust, right? We learn to trust. So only when we make God our trust, then we will have this composure. Now, John Calvin warns that it's wrong to give God, he says, a token nod, and then set him aside, while really we trust in our schemes and methods. You know, very often people come and say, oh, let's pray. Yes, we pray. And then after that, despair again. Right? It's like that illustration I've used before of a man carrying a big burden on his back. He's on his way to town. Then a man with a cart rides by, and he says, get on my cart. I'll drive you there, my horse and carriage. So the old man gets in. But then a mile down the road, the driver looks back, and the man who has the burden on his back still has the burden on his back, hasn't put it off. All right, so here, when we trust God, we submit. We wait. We humbly, right, put ourselves under him. Now, the second thing that we gain from this is when we trust in God, we can use our peace to encourage others. And that's what verse 8, what does David say in verse 8? He says, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So here, David can't contain the things that he has learned. Now, he's telling us how he endured his trials. And now, having trusted in God, having poured out his heart to God, he is telling us to do the same. So what God was to David in his extreme trial, God can also be to us in our crisis. Now here, it seems strange. Verse 1 tells us to wait, to surrender on God, right? Then verse 8 tells us to pour out our hearts to God. Now these two things are not contradictory. Waiting, as I said, is to have our heart in submission to God. Pouring means to unburden ourselves in prayer. And frankly, these two things go hand in hand. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But John Calvin says, we are prone to keeping our troubles pent up in our hearts until we are driven to despair. Ever happened to you before? Happens to me all the time, right? And we show much anxiety, Calvin says, in trying to escape our troubles without God. But in so doing, we find ourselves in a labyrinth of difficulties. So David here has shown us that we can be composed, we can be at peace, when God alone is our salvation and refuge. David has affirmed it, he has experienced it, and is teaching us to do the same. You know, I heard a story several years ago about a family with two children, and the wife was pregnant, but illness had struck her, and so it was about her seventh month. She had to have the baby taken out. If not, both of them would die. And even if she did take the baby out, one of them would still die. So the doctors decided to do a C-section, save the baby first, and then to save the mother. Now, meanwhile, everyone was anxious except for the husband, right? He was a believer. The whole family was a believer. Well, were believers. But the parents of the woman who were not believers, they didn't really believe that the son or the son-in-law loved his wife because he was so calm, right? He was not under any anxiety. So he had to explain to them that he loved her dearly, but while he loved her dearly, he was still trusting in God. And that was able to give him that peace and serenity and composure. I believe it is important for whatever trials we go through to fight for this kind of peace. We fight for this peace not so much that we can have this peace necessarily. We fight for this peace so that God will be glorified and others drawn to him. I think it was either John Piper or R.C. Sproul who said, now let me get this right, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him in the midst of our trial. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied with him in the midst of our trials. You know, the bulk of the Psalms teach us that, right? And it's a reminder to us to seek only Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, and we thank you that we can seek you alone. Indeed, Lord, not many of us have gone through the trials that David has. But we pray that whatever burdens us, that we would seek Christ alone, and that would grant us a godly peaceful composure filled with perspective. And Lord, we are weak, and often we lack that composure. Help us to pour our hearts to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.